NFL version of tanking. We see it in Major League Baseball. Does it help to lose? Does it help your chances in the future? Or have we not determined if it is effective in the NFL yet?
Oh, I don't think it's effective unless you need a quarterback and there's one there in the top five. And that's where you're going to be drafting. That's not the Niners' case. They don't need a quarterback. They probably will be drafting top five. But I think in the NFL, it's such a brutal sport where, you know, these guys don't have guaranteed contracts. They're not tanking. So if the tanking comes into play at all, I would imagine it's more on the coaching end that's coming down from the front office. But that doesn't happen either unless you're a really dysfunctional organization like the Browns were years ago, or still are. But when the Browns would try to relay stuff down to the sidelines, and it's just not possible in the NFL. Now, the way the Niners have gone about it is they keep losing these games every other week by blowing leads. Well, they lose games basically every week, but every other week they're blowing fourth quarter leads. And that's usually been their pass defense has been cratering at the end, and the offense hasn't been able to get in the end zone in those fourth quarters. So that's their recipe for their tanking, I guess. But they got six games to go, and they're going into a Tampa Bay team that's I thought they'd be tanking a lot more than the Niners are because they fired their D coordinator. They had players requesting trades, and they're just not a very good team. So it's not going to be Chiefs Rams. It'll be Niners Bucks, so it'll be a different showcase on Sunday.
It's a fine line between being terrible and tanking, and I think we see that on the other side of the bay here in the greater San Francisco nine-county Bay Area. Cam Inman here on 95.7 The Game. You talked about the game Monday night, and you look at the Rams, and you have to compare the Niners to them because they're in the same division. And I look at the receiving core, Cam. Can you see any of these receivers for the 49ers being good enough or potentially good enough to stand up to an offense like the Rams have?
You know what? Just like, I'm just thinking back to that game. You know how many people are going to go out and play their Thanksgiving Day game? Like the you and me go out there. Everybody's going to be pulling hamstrings tomorrow.
Sure.
They're all going to be trying to be these Chiefs and Rams receivers. It's going to be brutal the next couple of months. People are going to be icing their hamstrings over Christmas.
What are we going to meet at and play together? Me and Dib's going to come out and play with you.
You want to play some ball? I'm out, man. I did a Super Bowl like flag football game, and I think I pulled both my hamstrings on the same route. So I'm out. I will report on it.
Yeah, you're pretty fit too. That I can't imagine what would happen to a team older guy like me and Coz out there.
Yeah, that's true.
Your 49ers receivers question, Dibs. Let's get to
Thank
it.
You.
What do we have? You know, they have Marquise Goodwin that was supposed to be the number one this year, and he hasn't really produced. He's been injured a lot. Pierre Garçon's been out with a knee injury. I think what everybody's been looking for this year with the 49ers receiving core, it hasn't been there. I mean, Dante Pettis hasn't really shown up, and they used a second-round pick on him. So it's been George Kittle who's been the phenomenal receiver for whoever's at quarterback, and he's probably having the best year on the whole team, and he's a tight end. So wide receiver, pass rusher, or cornerback, and probably could go down the list. But the Niners have some big needs to address in the offseason.
Yeah, we talked to John, and John Lynch yesterday was on the show, and we asked him the question, what about pass rush? And he alluded to not necessarily saying that they have not necessarily found one yet. Talked about maybe necessarily putting Solomon inside more of a three technique and still looking for that pass rusher. Can you see anyone on that roster that can be developed into a bona fide pass rusher that they have there? Or does the cupboards look pretty bare?
Well, like John said, I mean, he was very blunt yesterday on the radio when he said it's something that they have to fix. And they knew that going into the year because they didn't address it in free agency or the draft. So they tried to get Khalil Mack, didn't pan out. And so they've been trying to use all sorts of games all season long to create a pass rush. Sometimes it's worked, not very well. They're just always a step slow from getting to the quarterback, especially in that fourth quarter. And, you know, for a team that drafted a defensive lineman with their top pick for three straight years, you'd figure the defensive front would be fine. And it just hasn't been. I mean, they haven't drafted the type of person that's a great pass rusher. Now, DeForest Buckner, I think he's going to be an all-pro. He just needs some help around him so he can kind of, you know, the light can shine on him a little bit better. I'd like to see him just kind of rush from the edge because he's a big, physical guy that can get after it. The other guys are they're trying like heck. They're just not getting there. And so the Niners are going to have to go out in free agency and overspend for a top pass rusher if one's available. There's going to be a lot in the draft. But then again, all the Niner fans are going to be really, we're going to have to go with a defensive guy up top again. But, yeah, they have to. I mean, last year they used their top pick on Mike McGlinchey, the offensive tackle. He's been phenomenal. He's been great. But they got to address the other side of that ball and get that pass rusher.
Cam Inman, Bay Area News Group, joining us on 95.7 The Game. You can get him on Twitter, at Cam Inman. I can't help but think the end of last year with Jimmy Garoppolo did so much to mask the problems of the 49ers that we were fooled into thinking they were going to be better all over the place than they actually are. Now that they're into their second year, and pretty deep into their second year of running this organization, Shanahan and Lynch, how much better are they now? And I know they have their quarterback, but how much better constructed are they now than when they took over this thing?
Well, I think the tricky thing there, Jim, is they expected a lot of those rookies that played well at the end of last year to do better in the second year. The Reuben Fosters, Adrian Colbert, Trent Taylor, these guys that were doing really well last December, they disappeared. And what Jimmy did last year, besides being very accurate and talented and all that you want out of a quarterback, he just seemed to make everybody play better around him. So when you think that he masked whatever deficiencies the 49ers have, that's the quarterback's job. Regardless of whether the most talented roster or not, the quarterback has to make everybody play better around him and inspire them. And Jimmy did that last year. He didn't do it at the start of this year very well. And so it did expose some problems where you'd say, yeah, their defense isn't very good. They lack some wide receiver talent. And, you know, I think the offensive line has played really well this season. And that's something that's kind of been overlooked in it. They have the number three ranked rushing attack, and they're doing it with the number two or number three running back since Derek McKinnon's out. So they've got issues, but it's not a symptomatic thing where I think people are really concerned about the 49ers. It's just that's why John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan got six-year deals, because it is a big overhaul that they've had to do. If these draft picks from last year and this year don't pan out, then that's going to set them back more. But you know what? The draft's a crapshoot. I mean, if Solomon Thomas isn't going to be a superstar talent, even though he was in a superstar talent spot at number three overall in the draft, George Kittle, he looks like a superstar talent, and he was a fifth-round pick. So that just goes to show you the draft isn't really it's a crapshoot. So, again, back to the tanking thing, you're tanking for what? I mean, for what certain draft spot, but do you know you're going to be able to draft the right guy? Is the right guy going to be there? It takes a lot to figure all that out.
Excellent point. Love it. Cam, thanks so much. What are you going to do for Thanksgiving? You got a little family stuff going on? What do you got working up?
We got family stuff. I hope everybody else does too, and I hope everybody travels safe and enjoys their Thanksgiving and stretch those hamstrings, guys.
We're going
to get
there. You go.
Looking forward to playing with you, buddy.
Hey, have a great time with your family on Thanksgiving. Thanks for joining us, Cam. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
All right, the great Cam Inman over at the Bay Area News Group. All right, we have a Black Friday special this Friday. We're going to be giving away a pair of courtside club tickets to the Warriors Heat matchup on February the 10th. We're going to qualify five listeners once an hour all day, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., 6:30. JD and Steiny are going to announce the winner on Warriors Live. When we continue, we're going to hear Steve Kerr, who was joined by Damon yesterday. We're going to replay the interview for you at 7:30, 95.7 The Game.
Warriors Wednesday continues on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Friedman's Appliance, a trusted name in the Bay Area since 1922, and Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Here's Joe Lowe and Dibs.
Joe just called me during the break, and he said, if this stuff continues, Monday's going to be hell for you, too.
Uh-oh. I'm taking Monday off.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the old substitute teacher when they try to take your name down on the list, and then the regular teacher comes back. It's like, how was the sub? Oh, she was great. We were so good, Mrs.
Yes.
Franklin.
Exactly the way it is in here. How you doing, everybody? Joe Lowe and Dibs on a Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I am Jim Cozumore in for Joe. Joe has today off. He'll be off on Friday as well. Want to let you guys know that at 8:45, we're going to be giving away three pairs of Fleetwood Mac tickets for this Sunday, the 25th, at Oracle Arena. Tickets available at LiveNation.com. Do you have a favorite Fleetwood Mac song? No? Not jumping out at you?
It's a pass for me.
It's a pass?
Yeah. I don't know about Daniel.
Oh, I'll go with Tusk, Jim, the underrated Tusk.
What? With the USC band coming out?
Yeah. It's probably it was their great most, music video.
Probably their best song?
Yeah.
I just said that because I didn't, you know, feel like sticking my neck out and saying Sarah and being criticized as being soft. No, that was Jefferson Starship's version of a different song, but
but it had the name Sarah in it.
Yeah, you were in the ballpark, though. It's classic rock is not his normal milieu. It's not your normal comfort zone.
No, I'm more of a BG guy.
If you were listening to Big Voice Guy, he told you it's Warriors Wednesday here at 95.7 The Game because the Dubs have a game tonight.
Yes.
And there was a time when we would have been excited about KD going up against Russ West. Isn't that right, Lo?
Absolutely. There would have been a time where we'd be like, oh, my God, I can't wait to see these two stare each other down.
Is there hatred?
Paul George now, Fresno State's finest, one of, you know, been playing very well. This should be a great matchup.
This is not Fresno.
We'd have been looking forward to that. But now it's crazy, Coz, like you alluded to. We're not even thinking about the Thunder. It's more about the Warriors and the infighting.
So. Warriors Wednesday continues.
Thank you. It does continue. And at 7:30, we're going to hear from Steve Curry. Joined Damon yesterday. We're going to replay that interview at 7:30 today.
We're running with the twos on 95.7 The Game.
That was straight twos.
So if you are just waking up and you haven't seen this, Chris Haynes over at Yahoo Sports, he has an article up about Kevin Durant and his upcoming decision this offseason and his claim that whatever's going on with Draymond right now is not going to affect the way he sees the team. Anyone believe that? Dibs, do you believe that at all? Do you think that that's, you sit here and you say, nah, that's a, I don't necessarily think that's all in because he's pretty butthurt about what went on inside the locker room.
Well, from the quotes he gave in the Chris Haynes piece on Yahoo, he's more hurt by the fact that the media and the outside forces won't seem to let this go. And because of that, I think it's more of a factor from the outside pressure and the outside scrutiny than it is a broken relationship with Draymond Green. Now, do I think he's already made his decision about where he's going to go? I don't think so. I think he's still open to it. If they win a third title, maybe that influences him to leave. Maybe it influences him to stay. I think ultimately what he said in the Chris Haynes piece, and I recommend you read it at yahoo.com, is that he's about being in a competitive situation. And this Warrior team still, if they're all together on the same page, they have the most competitive, winnable situation that he could possibly find, in my opinion.
I think that Cozy, when you look at it, you ask the question, would he stay, would he go? I think he goes.
Or does Draymond affect that decision?
I think Draymond has affected that its decision a little bit. I think he made it more easier. Was he still contemplating on leaving? Of course, because if he wasn't, he would have signed a four-year deal. They offered it to him this year. He would come out and say, I want to be a Warrior for life. It's easy to say those things. But he decided not to. So when you look at it like that, and that's why Draymond and all those some of the people said, hey, some of the players have said, hey, look, we want him, but we don't want to beg this year. We're not going to go through that. And he says he doesn't want them recruiting me this year. We don't want to. So you know that it's been a strain on all the parties, KD included. So if he really wanted to be here, he was like, I'm going to be a Warrior for life. I'm not thinking about it. But if he doesn't want to say that, so be it. Maybe he wants to go. If he wants to go, if he doesn't want to say anything about it, if he came out and said, oh, I'm leaving and I'm going to this team, it would be chaotic. You people would ask him all that whole
you
year.
You people. What do you mean by that?
A media. The media would be okay. On him all day long. We would be the ones that do it. You know it would. And you would be one of those guys.
Well,
Daniel.
We are anyway, and he
exactly.
hasn't decided. So.
Exactly. And that's just how it works. So has he? I think it's about purpose. And has he served his purpose? When you see you don't see the bird that's inside of the shell, but the shell is there to protect him and let that bird grow until it's ready to come out. And after he comes out, the shell has no more purpose. It served his. KD came here and he served his purpose. He wanted to get a couple rings. He's done that. He wanted to silence the critic to say, is his legacy going to be tarnished now? Everyone say, there's a lot of guys, Barry Sanders, a lot of guys, you know, Charles Barkley, Malone, there's a lot of guys that never, Stockton and Malone, never got that ring for whatever reason it may have been. So they never, but KD was able to get it. The shell served its purpose. KD's done what he needed to do. I think it's a foregone conclusion.
When he left Oklahoma City, if I go back to his Oklahoma City days, I think the only time I ever saw him angry or mad was when he was sticking up for Russell Westbrook. Remember, there was a time, I think it was Mark Cuban said, well, Westbrook's not a superstar. And they were in a press conference, and KD jumped in. And he goes, well, Cuban's a bleep. And he used some kind of off-color word that he used on him because he was sticking up for his guy. But when he left there, I always looked at him as he's a nice, happy, friendly guy who plays really, really well, and he's a great player. When he left, he was so wounded he had to lay in bed for 36 hours because of all the onslaught of media and attention that he was getting that wasn't necessarily positive attention. Now he doesn't seem like Mr. Smiling, happy guy all the time. He's pretty angry right now, right?
I think he's just uncomfortable by some of the attention and some of the scrutiny, and also he feels as if the business that's being put out there is something that should have been kept behind closed doors, and I think as a result, he can't do what he really wants to do, which is just focus on basketball. It's what he's done ever since he was a kid, basketball. He's not a guy who goes out and you see him on the talk show circuit or the nightlife, or he doesn't do a ton of interviews. He did the thing with LeBron last year, and what made that so special with Kerry Champion was that it was really honest and it was just the two of them. So you don't see Kevin Durant doing a lot of that stuff. He seems
social,
to be.
On social, though, we see him.
And that, to me, is the ultimate.
Accounts.
And that's where it comes across as not quite hypocrisy, but he wants his cake and he wants to eat it too. And in this case, the cake is 10 million Instagram followers and a real social media presence that's tangible, marketable. It's a real thing. He's a real factor. But on the other side, he wants this inordinate privacy about things that, quite frankly, won't be kept private because you're the most popular team maybe on the planet right now.
Just do your job. Could be. Just the biggest thing I think that everyone wants to see, the reason why we can still sit here and talk about it is because of the performance that we're seeing. You're a superstar. And here's the facts are this. If I'm playing a sport, no matter what I'm doing, I can't let someone dictate my performance. And that's why there's fuel to this fire. Because if KD was going out here putting up 35, 40 in these games and taking over and just lighting it up and just being that boy dog and just taking over, being dominant, you're like, man, KD's so focused, the noise. Everyone talks about LeBron. Say what you want about him. But everyone talks crap about him. The guy goes out and puts 51 up. Guys say he can't do this, and he still goes out and you got to have thick skin. So that's why everyone is still hanging on to this, because the way the Warriors are playing, how it looks, and it looks like KD's still out there. He's still a superstar. They're saying, where is this guy gone? So what KD needs to do is go to shut up the critics and shut up everyone. He needs to just go ahead and do what he does, and that's play ball and play at a high level.
But is Draymond getting in his way? And
it doesn't
what he
matter.
Said,
right now, it
how
doesn't
damaging
it doesn't
was
matter,
what Draymond
though, Coles,
said.
Coles, he's getting in his own way, Coz, is what
you.
He's doing.
Yes.
What he did in Dallas when he verbally berated fans who were calling him Cupcake and riding him. I mentioned this earlier in the pre-show. It might have been before you got here, but do you remember a guy by the name of Robin Fick?
Yes, I do, as
Robin
a matter
of Fick
fact.
Was a known classic. Heckler, one of the great hecklers in the history of the association, back in the Washington Bullets days, before they became the Washington Wizards. He would sit either the first row or the second row behind the visitor's bench, and he was a red-faced, bespeckled, older white guy who would just rag players, and he would ride you
vicious.
From tip to horn,
vicious,
from the
vicious.
Opening tip to the final horn.
Personal,
I thought about it.
Personal stuff, too.
But nothing overly verbose. I don't think there was a lot of bad language.
No, there's never bad
no,
language.
No racist stuff. It was
no.
Just,
No.
Right.
Okay.
But if you did something off court that was news, he was all over it.
But see, that's the thing. If Robin Thicke was saying that...
Thicke with an F. Robin Thicke is not the crooner.
Well, Robin, oh, the crooner?
Alan and his father's no longer with us. No flag for that.
If that's the case, someone should have took what the other Robin Thicke would say. Don't listen to what people say. Don't listen to
Thank you.
What people say.
Gotta
they
be higher
don't
if you're
know
do
about
it.
Us. So...
give you a little bit for that.
Exactly. So
the point is, the point that I was trying to make before you tried to... hijack that with your own R&B crooning is what would KD do if there was a real live heckler that he had to not respond to? Because behind the basket, they were giving it to him and he blew up and it cost him $25K. He's not letting us let go of it, Jim, by his ongoing.
You say that, Daniel, but you're
behavior.
Being a hypocrite. I mean,
I'm not.
Yes, you are, Daniel. And I'm going to come down your road. You ran coaches. You ran people. You've been an official. People are yelling at you, saying things they shouldn't, berating you as an official, and you ran them. You ran them out of the police.
So why is that hypocrisy?
Because they're saying stuff to KD, and he says some words. You as an official, because you got a whistle in your hand, you've made parents leave because you can't handle the words.
It's not that I can't handle it, Lois.
You can't handle the truth.
Okay. You're... Well, this is not even apples and oranges. This is apples and pig turd is what it is.
Dump trucks.
Pretty much.
So here's
the,
really?
But here's the deal.
It's best ignored.
No. But did Draymond Green open that door where KD now has all of this angst pouring out, right? Is that where we are as an organization for the Golden State Warriors? So we're going to get to Steve Kerr here in about 30 seconds because Steve Kerr didn't join you guys yesterday. He joined Damon yesterday.
You're getting it.
We're going to get this right.
But we're going to hear from Kerr. I'm going to ask you this question, and then I want people to respond at 888-957-957, or you can hit us on the text line 95795. If you're the Golden State Warriors right now, and you, I give you two choices. You're Joe Lacob and you're Bob Myers, all right? The two of you are those two guys. You can keep KD, Dre, Steph, and Clay together for now, make a run at the title, but you're going to lose Durant at the end of the season. That's one of your options. The other option is, KD just walked into your office and said, I will sign the four-year deal right now. You trade Draymond. Those are your things that you got to decide. Think about it, because it's 7:30.
It smells like a hypothetical to me.
And I promise, no, it could very well have been something that happened. But I'd like to know what you would do. Those are your options.
What would you do?
For now, Damon, his weekly conversation with Steve Kerr. In case you missed it, enjoy.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr brought to you by the Bay Club. Visit bayclub.com. So, Steve, before we get into what I heard was an interesting week for you and yours, you watched a little Monday Night Football last night?
That was unreal, wasn't it? Oh, my God. Never seen anything like it.
Let me tell you, if that's a Super Bowl preview, I think we can get behind that, don't you think?
Yeah, but meanwhile, the Saints are scoring like 50 a night, too. So, you know, who knows what will happen there. It seems like the Steelers doing the same things. All these teams that are just lighting up the scoreboard.
Are you lamenting the death of defense as we know it?
A little bit. You know, it's funny. It actually totally reminds me of the NBA. It's the same concept. We're giving all the advantages to the offensive team. We're finding it harder and harder to defend. And it looks like it's, sort of a similar philosophy to the NFL, giving the advantage to the offensive player on all the rules.
It's
maybe it's what they think the fans want. But in my mind, what happened last night was more about the incredible accuracy of those two quarterbacks and the incredible speed of those wide receivers. I mean, the athleticism on the field watching that game was just astounding.
It really, really was. And the truth is, we got like defensive plays actually made in that game, but there were so many offensive plays. We count 144 combined plays. And to translate it, Steve, to the NBA, it's not just the three-point shot that is pushing basketball to this new evolution. It's the pace of play. Like,
yeah.
Teams are just running faster, playing faster than ever, and it's happening across every sport, it feels like.
I would say that in both sports, it was probably evolving that way anyway from innovative coaching. You know, I look back to Nelly. Nelly was the first guy to really play small ball, but it didn't catch on, you know. But, over the last decade, a lot of teams have played small ball and had a lot of success. And so the trend of coaching was kind of leaning towards pace and space and all that. And as it was happening, I think the league noticed that it was a much more entertaining style, and they've sort of adapted the rules to kind of further it. And I'll bet the process was pretty similar in the NFL.
Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. How good was it to get home and have a day off on Monday?
Oh, man. I mean, days off at home in this land are just gold. They really are. I mean, you just, you're constantly dealing with travel and, the competition and the winning, the losing, the stress of whatever's, bothering a team like ours right now. But all this stuff, it presents a lot of stress. And then when you can just be at home with your family and have dinner, sit on your couch and watch a game or something, it's just a huge stress relief.
Couple of things that I learned this week in the last 8 days. I think the first lesson for everyone to take note of is how truly fragile it all is.
Well, I've been aware of that for many, many years.
Right.
I've seen teams that I've played for, that I've been in management with, or this team, coaching this team. Think about last year when we finished the season. We lost, I think, 10 of our last 17. Our defense was probably in the mid-20th, you know, sort of 24th, 25th in the league in that span. We lost our last game before the playoffs at Utah. We were down 50 in that game. So, you know, we went on to win the championship, right? Something had to change, and it turned in a positive direction. So the point is, everything is so fragile in either way, in either direction. You can get worse in a hurry, like we have over the last week, but you can also get better in a hurry, and that's why you have to have a foundation underneath you, and you have to have leadership within the group. And fortunately for us, you know, we've got all that, and so that's why I'm very confident we're going to be fine. But you are right; it is extremely fragile.
Skill set is one thing, and mindset is another thing. And if your mind ain't set right, I don't know if you can set the skills right. And I think that that's been on display by your team in just some hard to explain shooting performances.
Yeah, I agree with that, and it's true in every sport. You know, you lose a little confidence. You don't execute as well. You know, maybe it happens in that order, or maybe it's the opposite. You know, maybe you lose some confidence from poor execution. But all this stuff matters, and the mindset of the group matters, and the mindset of the individual matters, and it's all connected, and this is what coaching is about. It's about trying to get your team in the best possible frame of mind and the best possible physical state when it counts, and that's our goal. That's our job.
We'll be talking about who's getting healthy here in just a little bit. How happy are you that you have the Oklahoma City Thunder, a team that you know makes your team sit up and salute the right way every time they play? Like, you can't mail it in against these guys. And the common enemy that is, I mean, maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration, but just being able to point all efforts towards beating Russell Westbrook, that feels like a very good group exercise for the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, I think the games are the best part of you know, all of this. You always get to go out and play. I mean, that's the beauty of the NBA. There's so many games that inevitably you deal with, you know, good times and bad, but you got a game the next night, and it's a wonderful opportunity every single night to go out and show what you can do and show what the team's about. And so I think we're all looking forward to playing tomorrow.
I love the way that Quinn Cook played in Texas. I know that was a very frustrating road trip, but he's as steady Eddie as it goes. He really is impressive.
He is, and it doesn't surprise us because of what he did last year. You know, he's really established himself as a real pro, a guy that we can count on every single night. And I can't tell you how valuable that is as a coach, to have guys who you can bring off the bench, who you can maybe even sit and not play, or you can start him. Any of those options are available to you, and no matter which one you choose, you know you're getting a productive, team-oriented person who's just going to give nothing but his best shot. Man, that's awesome. So he's a huge, huge part of our team.
That's called being a pro right there. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. Jokic. What an energy guy. Like, he is constantly around the rim. Jarebko. He's just been unbelievable the way that he is just he's like everything. Any loose ball, he's around it. He just seems to be a bundle of energy.
He is. High-energy player and very smart. Has a really good feel for what's happening on the floor. Really good offensive rebounder. You see him anticipating plays from the weak side all the time. He's been great for us, you know, especially with all these injuries, because he can space the floor too and make a three. You know, when we're down, you know, a couple starters already, the ability to throw somebody like Jonas out there and know what you're going to get night in and night out, with that kind of energy, it's huge.
Speaking of energy given to a team, has there ever been a more important week of that Klay Thompson energy to sort of kind of define this team? He is forever cool. And I tell you, a guy who is having a tough shooting spell right now, it is so like Klay to notch an NBA record during a cold start. It really is. But
yeah.
Is there anything you can put your finger on to explain why his shot has been a little more vacant than we're used to?
I think it's kind of a culmination of the injuries and the lack of continuity. With the combinations that we've played, the lineups, the different lineups we've played because of the injuries. I don't think we've really gotten to our groove yet. The slow start was just kind of typical of Clay. He's done that several years that I've been here, where he got off to a slow start in the first four or five games. But I thought he was out of it. And the last three or four games have been difficult for us as a group, as a team, to get good shots. And Clay probably is affected by that more than anybody, because he's a rhythm shooter. And our normal style of play and the pace when he's playing next to Steph creates a lot of open looks. I think he's getting more difficult looks right now, so it's harder to find the groove.
Steve, do you and your coaching staff at times expect to play better in Steph Curry's absence, since you've had so many reps doing just that? It seems like ball movement kind of goes away without him out there. I even heard a very interesting quote post-game from Kevin Durant saying, like, ball movement can't just be there for ball movement's sake. There needs to be purpose behind the ball movement. And right now, maybe we don't have the guys to make it purposeful ball movement, and that's why we're settling on more isolation.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some merit to that. I mean, you want the ball movement, but the best way to get ball movement is to get the defense to put two on the ball. To have to commit to one area of the court where that opens up another area of the court. I always say you got to get the first domino to fall. Well, Steph does the best job of anybody getting that first domino to fall, meaning, he gets past his guy, he gets penetration. Now the defense comes and reacts. Now the ball kicks and it swing, and Clay gets a wide open shot. That's what ball movement is really about. If you don't break anybody down, if you're constantly playing follow on five and you're not getting penetration, then Kevin's right. Just passing the ball around the perimeter and not really doing anything is, in and of itself, not very effective. You have to impact the defense, and we're not doing that right now.
I know that you've already announced that Steph Curry will miss the homestand. Did see positive video out of today's practice, though. Looked like he was moving well. I know he hasn't returned to full team activity. Can you give us an update, though, Coach?
Yeah, he's doing a lot better. We're really encouraged. He saw the court work today. That was the most he's done. Now it's more about giving him a full, I don't know, 4 or 5 days to really reassess, to continue to build strength in the area, and see how he responds to a lot of work, on the court. So tomorrow, for example, we'll be able to gauge, where he is on a recovery standpoint, because he worked really hard today. So we have to go through that process and let it play out. But the good news is he's getting better every day, and he's getting closer.
How's DeMarcus doing?
I would put him in a similar category in terms of, he's getting better. It's a different timetable, though, because, he's dealing with a year-long absence and, conditioning and rhythm and timing. And so he's working every day and looks good. But we're gonna continue to push him, and he's going to push himself. And when the time's right, he'll be out there.
I think this week it's been so odd. It's the first time I've ever heard the phrase, the calming presence of DeMarcus Cousins.
Was that something you read?
I've heard and read a lot of things this week. I'm sure you have too.
DeMarcus has been a great fit with the group, for sure. I mean, the guys really like being around him. He's funny. He's fun to be around. I think everybody appreciates how hard he's working too. So, yeah, I mean, he's a big help for sure.
Have you learned anything unique about your team this week, or have you learned more unique things about the media this week?
Uh, I haven't learned from either one of them, the team or the media, to be honest, because I'm, you know, we've been through stuff before, and we know that there's bumps in the road as a team, and we also are well-versed in the world we live in, the judgment, the criticism, all that stuff, the microscope we're under. That's been the case for a long time. So we know the world we're in, and we know how to navigate our way out of it, and, you know, we're going to do that. You know, and we're we got a long road ahead. I mean, that's the thing. It's, you know, we, even last year, you know, we closed the season in a very poor manner. We were able to get it turned during the playoffs. So think about this situation now. We got 5 months till playoffs. So, you know, everybody just needs to relax and we'll get through this.
It's the take a breath portion of the schedule. Homestand coming up. Very interesting homestand indeed. Steph Curry's tattoo artist just let Steph autograph his leg. Would you ever let Steph Curry tattoo anything on you, Steve?
Is that this is a true story?
This is a true story. Steph's tattoo artist let Steph tattoo his autograph on his leg.
I had no idea.
Do you have any tattoos?
I do not. I do not.
Were you ever pressured to get like a Larry O'Brien by Bulls teammates, Spurs teammates, or current players you coach?
We actually talked about that. Judd Bushler and Luke Longley and I had a conversation on the plane back from one of our championships. We won in Salt Lake. It would have been 98, I guess. We flew back. We might have had a little too much champagne. We all agreed that we would get matching Larry O'Brien tattoos, and then we woke up the next day and realized that was a horrible idea.
Good choice. Look at the wisdom at an early, young age. The only thing we want you to do, Steve, is have a wonderful Thanksgiving. From our family to your family, extended to the Warriors family, you're fantastic to us always, and we are thankful for that. Thank you once again for another awesome conversation.
Thanks, Damon. Happy Thanksgiving to you and to everybody listening out there. Appreciate it.
That was the wettest smooch Damon's ever given anybody.
What are you going to do?
God, was that wet?
Good
for you. I'm glad you love this.
I love Damon, and he knows it, but man.
No. Come be real. Keep it real. Keep it 100.
He left a juicy one right on Steve's cheek, didn't he? Oh, my God.
Are we at a point where we can't just be thankful and give thanks?
I know.
Have we gotten to a point, James? Yeah. Lorenzo, just for a moment, if you indulge me. Have we gotten so cynical?
Look at James, he loves this.
Are we so cynical now that we can't just thank a guy and that's too big a deal for you?
He thanked like four extensions of the Kerr family. Right? It was outstanding. It was great.
Wow. Here we go again.
Here we go.
Here we go again.
Joe now. What's up with these hosts? Once they start getting on their little laughing roll, it might
be something with that microphone.
That was outstanding.
Outstanding.
That was one of the greatest thank yous ever. I hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving. I'm teared up right now.
Yeah, you are.
I am literally. I got to wipe them away.
Oh, you got to wipe that off?
Oh, wow.
Damon, he's coming down you hard. Damon's probably listening right now.
He is.
No chance. I don't think he rises and shines with the morning show.
No?
Nah, you know, if you do afternoons, you're not, you know, rolling out of the rack at this hour.
There were so many things I wanted to get into and before he let that big, juicy smooch all over Steve. The tattoo thing I think was a fun one. You guys got tats? What are your tats?
No, zero tats right now.
So I'm zero tat guy right now. How about you?
No, zero tats.
Zero tats?
Why are you surprised? Because I'm black or something? It's interesting how you just looked up.
It was crazy how you went right to that.
No, it was right. Because he looked at you and said, no tats. You said zero tats.
No tats, no surprise from, you know.
Yeah, from Daniel. Yeah. And then you look at me.
Grew up in Marin.
Right. Grew up in Lemoore, Central Valley. Form board, and then all of a sudden you look at me and you say, no tats.
Really?
Zero tats? Yeah,
West,
and then you go, West, really?
Do you have any tats?
Questioning me, like, maybe you forgot. I forgot if I got a tattoo on me. Really, really, Coz?
Steven, do you have any tats?
I don't think nice guys tatted up, no.
No, I do not.
No.
No tat hour, huh?
Yeah, completely tat-free this show.
That's why they were asking the question to Steve Kerr, who tatless, by the way. But he considered getting one. And then there's the Warrior fans, a big Steph Curry fan. The tattoo guy is going to have Steph's autograph. tattooed on him.
On Steph or on Steve?
On
himself.
The guy, I think he's Steph Curry's tattoo guy.
Yes, it is true.
Is going to have Steph's autograph.
Yes, and Steph did it.
Yeah, he signed it.
Steph was actually doing the tattoo. I watched it a little bit on Instagram. I saw a little bit of Steph actually doing the painting, a little bit of it.
And I was just going to ask, if you were to get a tattoo, whose autograph or what tattoo would you get?
Why are you even asked that question? You don't have to. I know I'm right here. It's okay.
Why? Why is it got to be you? Why can't it be him? Why? Why can't it be him? Because he's from Marin.
That's a question you need to ask yourself.
Exactly.
Why does it have to be low?
Why does it have to be low?
He would probably, because he would want me on the tattoo.
Okay,
I mean,
go.
This guy.
Gotcha.
Go.
He loves me, and I don't want him to put that out there.
And
so
I don't.
I didn't want to make him feel uncomfortable.
Okay.
I know you would have a tattoo of me, Daniel, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, if I was going to get a tattoo of any person, it probably would be you, but it would be a grilled cheese sandwich. Just get a tattoo of your face.
You don't know about the grilled
with
cheese
the forehead. Lo, if you take off your hat, please, just so we can get all the listeners and Jim Cosmore in on the bit as well. Look at his forehead. If you could slightly tilt down a little bit, tilt your head down. You see that?
Yeah.
Does it or does it not resemble a grilled cheese sandwich? I'll give you a moment to ponder it.
I see it now. I do see it now. I see it.
Coach!
I definitely
coach,
see it.
Come on, coach, really, coach?
I definitely
coach,
see it.
Coach, really?
What? How did that happen?
Oh,
what is a grilled cheese sandwich? I'd like famous coach, celebrity foreheads for $200, please.
Coach, you go down that road with this guy?
I'm not going down the road.
Okay,
I've been taken down
go
that road. But let's get back.
Please.
I want to get back to what we just heard from Steve Kerr with Damon. And I had asked a question prior to us replaying that interview. Excellent work by Damon, and it's always great to hear from Coach. But I asked you this question regarding the Warriors, because remember, Steve Kerr, at no time prior to what has gone on with Draymond Green, at no time did he suspend him, did they fine him, but they opted to do it now, once Draymond gets up in the grill of Kevin Durant, and now there clearly appears to be something, despite the fact that they shot free throws together. Was that in Atlanta or Houston, where they shot free throws together?
That was in Houston.
That was in Houston. So supposedly, that made everything better. Maybe it didn't. All right, so the question was, if you're, I'm looking at you guys as Joe Lacob and Bob Myers.
Why does he got to own the team?
Because he does.
Okay.
Keep, your options are keep Kevin Durant, you keep Draymond, you keep Steph, you keep Clay for now, you make a run at the title, but you're going to lose Durant at the end of the year. Your other option is this. Kevin Durant walks into your office and says, I'll sign for 4 years right now, but you got to get rid of Draymond Green.
I'm Bob Myers.
Yeah.
I say, well, I'm not trading Draymond Green, so we're just going to ride it out to the end of this year. And if KD leaves at that point, I hope we got our third straight title, and I hope we got 4 and 5 years. But I'm going forward with this team with Draymond Green because I'm Bob Myers, and
mm-hmm.
I play pickup basketball at a pretty elite level. I understand the game at a very elite level, and I understand what Draymond Green brings, the dynamic of having a guy who can guard all five positions, who will rebound, who can distribute, who will call other guys on the carpet and hold them to a higher standard. That value is unique. You can't find that in many other players around the association. And so I would have to say that I'm going to keep Draymond. So KD, Godspeed, all the best.
You just took that guy who you said all those nice things about, and you took $120,000 away from him. And you've made him pretty unhappy right now.
Jim, you're a soccer fan, and you understand
that?
The accumulation of fouls. You watch a game sometimes, and in the 73rd minute, you see a guy get a yellow card for a very pedestrian challenge. Not a reckless challenge.
Not a cynical challenge.
Not a two-footed challenge, but just a garden variety one. And then you see the ref walk up, and what does he do? He goes, 1, 2, 3. He shows you the thumb, the index, and then the middle finger, and he shows everyone that there was one, there was two, and now there's three. Now I must brandish a yellow. That's what I think the suspension was. An accumulation of fouls.
It's an accumulation.
Sensation.
Sensation. Thank you for that. All right, so where would you sit on this one? You're Joe Lacob right now, and Kevin Durant's standing in front of your desk, and you've got your options. Keep them all together, but you know KD's going to leave at the end of the year. He walks in, and he says, I'll sign for 4 years right now. Get rid of Draymond.
I would look at KD and tell him, sit down. It's going to take a while. And I would begin to lay out just what I've seen and what's been the perception. Whether it's reality or not, I would say, look, you are a hell of a talent in the association, as Dibs like to say. And your talent is unprecedented. And you're going to have a long, great career. You've won rings here. We love you. This is one of our guys, Draymond. We love him as well. We find a Draymond because we thought that his language and the things that he said was very degrading, and we understood that. We wanted to know we have your back, but for you to ask us to trade him, then what message are we sending? We want you to be here. We want a long-term deal with you, and I believe you can help us continue to win championships. But we're not going to do that. We're not going to give. We're not giving in because you can't necessarily continue this. This league has to make sure that it doesn't continue to give in to players. And KD's a great talent. But you mean to tell me if Kawhi Leonard's out there next year, you can't plug him in? Can this team win without Durant if you get another guy? Don't have to be as good as KD because there's not a lot of KDs. Newsflash, there's not a lot of KDs out there. But there are some guys that you can come in and be serviceable and go out and get you 20 a night and still light it up and still play defense and still do those things because you still have Steph Curry. You still have the greatest three-point shooter the game has ever had. So if I'm the owner, I would sit down and I would have that conversation. As in Mr. Daniels' church, I would not make that. I would not make that happen.
888-957-9570. You can hit us on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Thank you, Chilton Auto Body. By the way, we appreciate it, and happy Thanksgiving to you from Damon and the rest of us here at our family at 95.7 The
That's
Game.
That's a shot fired.
That's not a shot.
Yes, I was.
That is not at all.
A better Damon, opportunity would have been for you to express how thankful we are to have Damon Bruce 3-7 on afternoons here on 95.7 The Game.
I'm a huge fan. You know I am.
Look at you. You're over there just eating this up.
Mike
A shot
Fremont.
Created must be taken. Yes. That's the old Don Nelsonism. So there you have it.
888-957-9570. Give me Fremont Mike. Fremont Mike, I'm giving you the same conundrum. You're Joe Lacob, and those are your two choices. How are you going to play this thing out, Mike?
It's a great question, Coz. As Diz would say, you're a hypothetical imagination sensation.
Thank you.
Like that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hypotheticals.
It would be an emotional revolt to see Draymond in a different uniform, but if you want to win titles for the next 4 years, you need number 30 and number 35. If you want to stack titles, that's your core. So you would have to let Draymond go to keep Kevin Durant, but it would set a dangerous precedent for who Kevin Durant gets to decide to be on the roster. But I'll just leave you guys with a heartfelt happy Thanksgiving to the Cozumel family, Sibley family, the O'Neill family, and the Nice Guy Steven family, and all your family.
That was quite a wet one on the way out, too. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. For
call of the day.
And we'll give him the official designation.
I don't know if everything was good till he said O'Neill.
That's great. It was a shout out to your Irish roots.
It's Neil.
The O'Neill family.
That's not cute. It's Neil.
The K is silent in Neil.
Hey, guys, coming up on Black Friday, I'm going to be working with Guru.
Oh, Black Friday.
I'm looking forward to
that day.
We have a huge Black Friday special Friday. Of course it's on Friday. We're going to be giving away a pair of courtside club tickets to see the Warriors and the Heat play February the 10th. We're going to be qualifying 5 listeners once an hour all day from 6 in the morning until 6 at night. And then at 6:30... JD and Steiny are going to announce the winner during Warriors Live. That's coming up all day Friday. So as you get rolling on your Black Friday and you get your shopping going and everything in your favor, make sure you keep it tuned, locked in to 95.7 The Game. We want to qualify 5 listeners every hour. It's going to start with Guru and I at the 6 o'clock hour and run all the way through, and you could be the winner. What's the best seats you've ever had? Courtside club seats. Those are great seats.
These particular seats, I believe, are in the first or second row behind the actual on the court. So these aren't the on the court, but it's like the first or second row behind that. These are incredible seats. I've actually sat on the court many, many, many years ago.
That's a humble brag, Lo.
Well,
go ahead.
When you've been in the business as long as I have, working for various stations that cover this team around the association, you've had an opportunity to get a bit of a come up. Now, in this Steph Curry dynastic run, no, I haven't sat courtside, but when they drafted Patrick O'Brien, yeah, I might have got courtside in that season.
I hear you there. I hear you. I hear you. I will say this. If you've never sat that close, it is a completely different game.
It really is.
The size and the speed that these guys play the game.
The sweat that you get to see, I mean, up close and personal, see guys diving for balls.
It's amazing.
It's absolutely amazing. These seats are phenomenal. I too, have sat in those seats. those particular seats and had an opportunity. It was really an.
Did you go with the O'Neal family?
Thank you, Kozer. Nice, Kozer.
Your brother Shaq set you up with a couple of tickets.
Dibs, Joe's not here, and you're still going to do this today. Interesting.
Maybe your cousin Delta hooked you up.
Let's hit some. You guys want to hit some phones,
or
you guys?
Yeah, let's do some phones.
I thought I'd take a couple more shots at Lowe. You'd read the legal, and then we would be on to Cincinnati.
Why don't you get legal? Rock the legal for
me. We made an executive decision that you will perform with the twos. You're running with the twos. We don't bring Steph Curry in for a last second shot.
Nice.
You shoot the shot.
Don't you think
shoot the shot?
The audience of Joe Lowe and Dibs
shoot the glass.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HT1 KGMZ San Francisco. It is the radio home of the Golden State Warriors.
Boom.
Was that so hard?
Yeah, was that
well,
so hard?
I mean, really?
Was that
listen,
bad?
I know what you think. Let's go to the phones.
Here's what I know.
Nice.
Mike in San Francisco.
All right, Mike.
Oh, where are you going with this great hypothetical, yeah. Mike? You're on with Kozlo and Dibs.
What's up, guys?
What's happening?
Hey, to me?
You tell us, Mike.
As much as I love Draymond, I would let Draymond walk because you can get another Draymond, not as good as Draymond, but there are guys like Montrezl Harrell, Tobias Harris, those scrappers. Guys who can do it all on both ends, but there's only one KD. And if you're looking at moving to the Chase Center, KD is just what they need. He's an all-world player. To me, there's only one KD, and I think he's the best player in the game as much as LeBron, as great as he is. I think KD at this point has surpassed him slightly. So going forward, you can fill in a Draymond spot because to me, Draymond is not a max player. I think he's as good as he is because he's on this team. Durant is a proven superstar. So from Lakers' perspective, you got to going forward, you got to go with KD, Steph, and Klay. Those are the trio that can win you more titles. I think Draymond, has hit his peak. I think he's going to be beginning to drop off slightly. So you let him walk, and KD's much more impactful for this organization going forward. So that's how I would look at it, as much as I love Draymond.
All right, Mike, thanks very much.
That was a good, honest assessment. And thank you for Montrezl Harrell, too. I wasn't sure if he was going to make it into the program today. That felt really good.
It was very good.
I think the comparison is way off the mark, though. Montrezl Harrell is not Draymond Green.
Draymond Green is it one? There's only one Draymond Green. Who in the NBA can do all the things he can do?
To say Swiss Army Knife doesn't do justice to just all the things he does, because ultimately, even the finest Swiss Army Knife.
He's 5-tool.
Yeah, you get to the 10-tool one that has the toothpick that you always lose,
love
and even the one with the scissor. The scissor doesn't work very good.
The
finger holes are too small. Thank you.
The scissor's a piece of crap.
Thank you. So to compare Draymond to the 5-tool Swiss Army with the knife and the...